The war on terror has turned to a new page with the current attempt to contain ISIS in Iraq and Syria. Given how ISIS has taken control of turf and created a large bankroll for themselves, which is fed daily through oil sales and other resources, many say that the current attack and bombing efforts by the U.S.-led coalition is too little too late, merely for show rather than effectiveness. Here with his analysis is National Security Analyst for the Clarion Project, Ryan Moore. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning.
ClarionProject.org on the web is you can learn more about this and other foreign affairs matters and get yourself some education about the facts of the situation. So, you know, given what a growing number of voices are saying, that this is a tap on the shoulder to the bull coming down to you in that bull run they do in Spain, how do you see what's been taking place so far with the 26-country coalition versus ISIS?
Well, I think absolutely the current airstrikes is not going to do enough to get rid of this terrorist group and to get rid of actually the other terrorist group, the Khorasan group, which is part of Jabhat al-Nusra. It's al-Qaeda's branch in Syria. So we're currently bombing two groups at once. But I also think that it's unrealistic to expect much more than what we're currently doing to dismantle ISIS. There could be more airstrikes, I suppose, but part of the reason that the airstrikes have been limited is so that there are no civilian casualties or that they are minimal. And that's been the case so far. And even with these limited airstrikes, we know that we killed the leader of the Khorasan group of al-Qaeda's branch in Syria. That's the branch that was trying to carry out an attack on the U.S. and Europe. And that's a very prized target. And we also killed the top sniper. So the airstrikes are being effective. I can tell by monitoring their social media that we are having an impact. And that's very good news. And I think the two groups are discouraged.
When you look at the philosophy of terrorists, such as those who are a member of ISIS and the various branches thereof, they have no fear of death. I mean, it's celebrated news when an al-Qaeda leader, an ISIS leader is taken out, but you blink your eye and that leader is replaced by someone else who doesn't really care there's a bullseye on their back.
They don't care about dying, but when you replace them with other individuals, those replacements are not going to have as much personal connections, they're not going to have as much experience, and so the group does become weaker. We've seen this happen with al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and Pakistan, where we've killed most of the top leadership, and yes, they get quickly replaced, but the next generation is not as battle-hardened as the original one, and so their effectiveness decreases. And as their effectiveness decreases, it makes it harder for them to recruit. Because the reason that a lot of radical Muslims join these groups is because they view their success as proof that Allah has blessed them. That's why ISIS is so successful, because they took over one-third of Syria and one-third of Iraq, and a lot of jihadists said, well, obviously those guys are right because Allah is blessing their jihad. Look at what's happening. But once they start losing and becoming ineffective, that's when a lot of jihadists start second-guessing, and that's exactly what we want. We want them to doubt whether they are on the right side.
It is said, or at least hoped and expected by some, that a variety of Arab countries would lend their support, not just in well wishes, but also in equipping and fighting terrorist threat within that region. But when you look at how Turkey, certainly Qatar, and even Saudi Arabia just openly support jihad, what hope is there of any sort of ally effort in that region by those who are native to that region?
The problem we face is that a lot of our partners in the Middle East support jihad as a whole, but then they fight against certain fruitions of it. And the Islamic State is a perfect example of that, where you had a lot of money and a lot of funding and theological support going to the ideology of the Islamic State, of al-Qaeda. But then when that results in terrorist groups gaining a lot of territory, those same countries that originally sponsor that ideology then say, oh, we've got a problem and we need to tackle this monster that we created. And so that's where we're at. So it's a very positive thing that we have five Arab countries helping us with airstrikes in Syria, more than that, supporting us in Iraq, and that's very good from an ideological standpoint. It's very good when it comes to tackling the Islamic State, but over the long term, does it get to the root of the problem? It doesn't. What gets to the root of the problem is having these same countries change their ideology and start fighting against this so that this version of Islam isn't the predominant one as it currently is.
Ryan Morrow, who is National Security Analyst for the Clarion Project, clarionproject.org on the web, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. When you look at those Arab countries who are participating, whether it's out of sincerity or self-preservation or an honest care about whatever the shape of the world happens to move towards, when you look at their populations, and by and large, Americans, Arabs certainly, Muslims specifically, do not trust America. So when you have these countries' leaders look to their left and see a call to action, look to their right and see their people not really happy about them answering that call, what does that add to this whole picture?
What's interesting is that since the airstrikes have began, the normal anti-American, anti-Western protest that normally erupts whenever there's a military action has not happened. There was a small demonstration in Turkey, maybe some small demonstrations in Iraq and Syria by ISIS supporters, but by and large, the Arab world has been silent or supportive. There are some groups like the Muslim Brotherhood that are saying they support a military effort against ISIS, but they condemn the U.S. involvement. But whatever the case may be, the bottom line is that we're not seeing this backlash. And so a lot of the Arab countries that are participating in this don't have to fear their local populations, because ISIS has been so vicious to everyone around them that everyone understands that this is evil, and no amount of propaganda can spin that and turn them into the good guys.
And does the absence of the protest further water down the efforts of ISIS and even the Muslim Brotherhood? Because what we had seen in the past was there would be a sincere effort by the people to speak out about something that was happening, but then the terrorist organizations co-opt those demonstrations and take over those demonstrations.
I think it is a failure and a defeat for ISIS and also for al-Qaeda that there was no backlash, because, again, we did not just bomb ISIS. We bombed Jabhat al-Nusra, al-Qaeda's branch in Syria, which is much more popular than ISIS, and we still didn't see this big backlash. And that's very, very important, because it shows that they're also losing the ideological war. These groups say we are acting on behalf of the Muslim world. We have the correct version of Islam. But then when the vast majority of people, through their silence, do not endorse their interpretations of Islam, then that goes a long way in sending the message to would-be recruits saying, you know what, maybe they don't have things right. And it's very discouraging for them. Over at the Clarion Project website, I posted a video of a Jabhat al-Nusra operative standing in front of one of the sites that we bombed. And when you listen to him, you can hear him being discouraged. I mean, how often do you actually see that?
Yeah,
a jihadist normally pounds their chest and they have lots of bombastic rhetoric. He actually sounds really upset and discouraged, and he says the Americans killed a lot of mujahideen here, and that was days ago, so we've killed more since then.
Isn't that one of the keys, too, because the Obama administration has come under criticism for saying what they would not do in this battle? But if you can harm ISIS through their recruiting, which has been above average, and so if you can hurt them when they're recruiting, is that another way to take the battle to them?
Undermining the recruiting is always important. I think everyone understands that. As for the issue of the combat forces, yes, we do have troops on the ground in Iraq. Could they conceivably be involved in combat? Yes. But there is that technical definition that the Obama administration is using of combat troops and combat roles, which is separate than your typical special forces operations, intelligence operations, advisory capacities, and things like that. And I think that so far, President Obama is making the right decision in saying we're not sending combat troops in on the ground. And part of the reason is because when I look at the ISIS social media accounts and I see how discouraged they are in the wake of the airstrikes, one of the ways that they are encouraging each other is basically acknowledging, okay, we're not going to be able to shoot down American planes. And so they encourage each other by saying, don't worry, the day will come when you will be able to fight American soldiers on the battlefield and we'll be able to kidnap them or kill them or just injure them. And one picture of that, a successful attack on American soldiers, is worth millions to them, even if it comes at the cost of 1,000 of their operatives. And that's what they're all craving to do, because they want glory. It's one thing to just carry out a suicide bombing that's just in the news for a blip and then it goes away. But if you can take out an American soldier, there's a lot of glory for a jihadist terrorist in that. And so the hope of ISIS right now, from what I'm reading on the social media accounts, is that we will send in combat troops. It may become necessary at some point, but we have to acknowledge that that is what ISIS wants.
30 seconds left. I know it's impossible to put times onto a timeline in this instance, but when you look at what is happening with the growth of ISIS and the reaction to them, the various other terror organizations in the Middle East, is this something with a finite end to it, or is this going to be just the new way of the world that's going to be a continuous matter that has to be dealt with?
It's possible for us to dismantle the Islamic State and individual groups, but there will always be clusters of jihadists, and the problem is always going to be a very big one until the ideology itself is discredited and so marginalized that they don't have new recruits and new homegrown terror cells in any significant capacity, and that's going to take a long time to happen.
The security, National Security Analyst with the Clarion Project, clarionproject.org on the web. Ryan Morrow, thanks so much for your insight this morning. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.